Live from Leonard Park, USA, I'm Tavis Smiley, and you're listening to KBLA Talk 1580. So glad to see you and me back in stride again. Our phone number, 1-800-920-1580, 1-800-920-1580. All of our socials can be found at KBLA 1580. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, everything at KBLA 1580. Our phone number, 1-800-920-1580. Give us a call anytime you want. Check out the app. Download the app, in fact, by going to KBLA 1580. If you download the app, you can take us with you anywhere in the world and listen to us in real time, but only if you download the app at KBLA 1580. Anywhere you are in real time, you can check out this program and all of our programs if you download the app right now at KBLA 1580. Should you miss us any day in real time, check out the podcast of our program by going to the app, the website, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, so many places to get the podcast of this program and listen at your leisure should you miss us any day in real time. But I am thrilled to have you along live with us today for the next 3 hours. Let me also invite you to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at The Real Tavis Smiley and get Twitter updates at Tavis Smiley. Another great show on tap for you today to start the week. In our second hour, author, professor, and philosopher, Dr. George Yancey began writing a powerful and thought-provoking series for the New York Times centered around musings on death and mortality. He has wrestled with some deep questions like, what is the meaning of death? Is there a meaning? Why do we exist only to die? Why are people so afraid to talk about death? Why should we, must we, in fact, talk about death? Does the meaning of death take on a different meaning for black folk in particular? Hard questions which require heart answers. A conversation about life and death with Dr. George Yancey in hour two. In our third hour.
I question America. Is this America? The land of the free and the home of the brave.
Sea pie, where you little lamb.
I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be without clothes. I know what it's like to be without food.
An icon of civil rights history tells her own story in words and song.
The cry of hunger is the cry of hunger, whether it's come from black, white, brown, or red.
White and black.
And this is what black power means. We want to have something to say about our destiny.
And we've been down so long, we ain't got no other way to go but up.
Mama run away.
Fannie Lou Hamer's America.
Left nobody but the baby.
Conversation in hour three with the filmmakers behind the award-winning documentary film, Fannie Lou Hamer's America. Fannie Lou Hamer's niece, Monica Land, and the film's director, Joy Davenport, will join us. The film took more than 10 years to make, and it is now streaming on several platforms. To my mind, and I've said this many times, Fannie Lou Hamer is perhaps America's most overlooked, undervalued, and underappreciated freedom fighter. And I look forward to a conversation about her life and legacy in hour three. But in this first hour today, two conversations on the B side of this hour. Democratic Congressman Steve Cohen returns to this program to talk about his new role as Special Representative on Political Prisoners. Named co-chair of the U.S. Helsinki Commission by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Congressman Cohen will monitor human rights and international cooperation in 57 countries. I look forward to learning more about his new role when he joins us on the backside of this hour. In a moment, speaking of Democrats, we'll commence this hour in conversation with the chair of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison. A lot to talk about with him as the midterm elections draw ever closer. But first, before that conversation, let me download you on a special nationally broadcast talk series we're about to kick off next week here on KBLA Talk 1580 for the month of October. You've probably been hearing the promos on our station about this series called Agenda for America, an African-American Perspective. Agenda for America, an African-American Perspective. Let me tell you a bit about it, and you'll be learning more about it in the coming days, but I want to make sure you are well aware of what we're doing around here at KBLA Talk 1580, so you can set your calendars to make sure you don't miss a single one of these conversations. So many of you, if you've been around a while, you recall back in the day, I did a series for about 12 years, I think, called State of the Black Union. And these conversations broadcast annually in February, Black History Month, on C-SPAN. And all day long, you'd be stuck at your house watching us on C-SPAN with all of these thought leaders and influencers and opinion makers and world changers and deep dialogue about the issues that matter most to black folk in this country. This is long before the black Twitterverse, long before the black blogosphere. We were out the gate first with these conversations once a year that featured the best and the brightest in black America. So imagine that this is sort of SOBU for radio, State of the Black Union for radio. So instead of a six-hour conversation live on C-SPAN, we've broken it up into four different conversations, four consecutive weeks, four essential conversations, four empowering panels, four brilliant moderators, just on the level of the SOBU conversations you came to watch for a dozen years, again, every year on C-SPAN. So starting Thursday, October the 6th, the first two-hour conversation, and by the way, all of these conversations every Thursday in the month of October, 7 to 9 p.m. So Zoe Williams gets a break on Thursday nights in the month of October. So the VOR will not be heard. The Voice of Reason will not be heard in the month of October, only on Thursday nights. You can catch him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. But on Thursday nights, we're taking over Zoe's time slot with this special series called Agenda for America, an African-American Perspective. So Thursday night, October the 6th, that is, 7 to 9 p.m., the State of Black Women two-hour conversation with an all-star panel, and we'll tell you more in the coming days about who these panelists are, but it's going to be on fire. Thursday night, October the 6th, with a national all-star panel moderated by our host, Areva Martin. That's Thursday, October the 6th. On Thursday, October 13th, State of Black Youth in America, moderated by my colleague, Dominique DePrima, host of First Things First. Dominique, you may know, started her career up in the Bay Area and then came down to L.A., but she has great experience at moderating conversations specifically aimed at young people. And so there'll be a number of young voices. Oftentimes, we talk down to young folk. We talk about young folk. We talk around folk who are young but never talk to young people. So Thursday, October 13th, 7 to 9 p.m., the State of Black Youth in America, moderated by Dominique DePrima. On Thursday, October 20th, the State of Black Men in America, moderated by Zoe Williams, host of The Voice of Reason. So Zoe will have to work that third Thursday, October the 20th, but a powerful conversation. And wait till you hear the brothers who are on his panel. It's going to be fire again on Thursday night, October the 30th, 7 to 9 p.m., State of Black Men in America. And then on Thursday, October 27th, yours truly steps to the microphone, and I get to moderate the final conversation called Why We Can't Wait, The Urgency of Now. Why We Can't Wait, The Urgency of Now. I'll have a job opportunity to wrap up this month-long series with an all-star panel, as I did on the SOBU stage for 12 years, an all-star panel of brilliant thinkers on Thursday night, October 27th. The final conversation in this series called Agenda for America, an African-American Perspective. Finally, you should know, this is kind of inside baseball, but if you have friends in other cities, as you well know, everything we do around here can be heard on the app, so we always invite you to download our app at KBLA 1580. But this series is the first time that KBLA is producing a series for other stations. So this will not just be heard on KBLA, all across the country, in Detroit, in Washington, in Atlanta, in Chicago, in Philly, all across the country, this two-hour conversation every Thursday night will be shared with other urban stations. So there are other stations all across the country that will be broadcasting this content as well. So your favorite station here in L.A. is moving not just to empower you, but to become a portal for content production for other urban stations across this country. Our first foray into that kind of business, and we're excited about producing the kind of content you hear every day for other stations all across the country. So it is Agenda for America, an African-American Perspective, being broadcast nationally from Los Angeles, live from the Demert Park, USA, broadcast every Thursday night 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on this station and heard across the country on other urban stations as well. So that's our October conversation. We got some big stuff in November we'll tell you about later, but all of this, as you have already figured out, is moving us closer toward these midterm elections come November, and we want to make sure that this African-American owned and operated station gives you all the resources you need, all the information you need to make better choices that will help all of us ultimately live better lives. That's what we are committed to doing around here, to amplifying your voices, and we look forward to this great series and your participation in it. And we're excited about what we're doing in the month of October and beyond, again, headed toward the midterm election. Speaking of which, when we come forward, we'll commence a conversation with the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison. You're listening to KBLA Talk 1580.
Be sure to learn more with Tavis Smiley. The conversation continues right now. Right now. Right now.
Please be joined in conversation now by the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison. Mr. Chairman, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Tavis. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, brother. Good to have you on. Thank you for your time. I've got about 12 minutes here. I thank you for the time that we do have before the bottom of the hour. We'll be joined later on the backside of this hour by Congressman Steve Cohen. So, as I said, speaking of Democrats, no better time to have the chairman of the Democratic Party on the program. So let me jump right in. We're getting closer to the midterms in November. When last we spoke, all the pundits and prognosticators were saying the Democrats were going to take a shellacking when we got to the midterms. And all of a sudden, President Biden's numbers are up higher of late than they've been in a long time. Mitch McConnell is complaining about the quality. This is McConnell complaining about the quality or lack thereof of Republican candidates. Raphael Warnock has doubled down on Herschel Walker. He's leading by double digits in Georgia. It seems to me there are a few things at least one could look at that might suggest that Democrats will do better than expected come November. What say you, Mr. Chairman?
Well, Tavis, I've been like a broken record on this from the very start. I have projected, and I believe this to the core of who I am. Democrats are going to keep their majorities in the House. We're going to grow the majority in the Senate, and we're going to pick up governor's mansions. And I think the momentum is on our side right now. This election is about a contrast. Contrast between an extreme party right now that wants to cut Medicare and Social Security, wants a national abortion ban. They want to wreck health care in this country. They want to suppress voters. And a party, the Democratic Party, that's been fighting for working people in this country, led by Joe Biden over the past 2 years. I mean, we've seen great progress made by this president and Democrats in the House and Senate. And we want to keep that going moving forward.
To what extent do you think this issue of reproductive rights and freedom, for that matter, for women is impacting these numbers? I even see Republican candidates, certainly women Republican candidates, who are nuancing their positions on this issue. To what extent do you think this Supreme Court decision has upended what we thought was going to happen in November?
It's a huge issue, Tavis, and we see it particularly with women. There was one poll recently I read, 70% of women polled said that control over their bodies is the reproductive freedom is one of the driving forces for them to go out and vote. You know, women make the majority of this country, the majority of registered voters in this nation. And so I think it's going to be a driving force, and it's going to be a driving force in how Democrats win, like we won in 2018, like we won in 2020. In 2022, women, once again, will be a driving force in terms of making sure that happens.
Chairman Harrison, what are you saying that gives you reason to believe that Democrats will hold on and, to use your word, expand numbers? But what are you looking at that I'm not seeing that, and you're the chairman, so you got data that I don't have, obviously. But what are you looking at that suggests to you that you're going to hold on to the House and the Senate?
Well, you know, on the Senate side, I've been talking with many of our Senate candidates who are running in some of these states. Was just chatting with Sherry Beasley and Mandela Barnes in two states that when we win, they will be pickups. And the momentum's on their side. We just got to keep pushing, making sure that they have the resources on the ground to get it done. I spoke with Val Demings, her campaign manager, the other day. Val has closed the gap and is pushing hard on Marco Rubio, so much so that they're running the nastiest ads that you can find on her. But, you know, Val's a tough cookie, and she's going to win this race. And so I feel good about that. And then You know, I've been traveling a bit, going around. I was just with Congressman Horsford in Nevada. And then we're seeing some breaks on the House side. Marcy Kaptur's running against this right-wing MAGA Republican who just came out that he's lied about his military service. In Alaska, it looks like a seat that Democrats didn't even have on the radar. We will likely hold that seat. And so we are seeing it come together. And I feel really, really confident about it.
To what do you attribute this momentum? You've used that word two or three times in this conversation already. I hear you. But to what do you attribute this momentum or this swing in sentiment, if I can put it that way?
I think part of it, Tavis, is people understanding and finally recognizing how Democrats in just a little under 2 years have really delivered on behalf of the American people and have an agenda and a program to deliver even more. Take a look at some of the things that this president has passed in less than a two-year period. The American Rescue Plan, where we put money in pockets, people back in their jobs, vaccines and arms. We went to the bipartisan infrastructure law. Just recently, the Inflation Reduction Act to lower the cost of prescription drugs to fight back against climate crisis. The CHIPS and Science Act to lower costs, create American jobs. The PACT Act to benefit our veterans. First major gun reform in less than in nearly 30 years. Investments in our historically black colleges and universities. The student loan program that the president rolled out, which one in four black folks who have student debt will get completely wiped out because of it. The first black woman on the Supreme Court. I mean, think about that. You, Tavis, you've been doing this for a while. You know, just a few of those things would have been the anchor achievement for a presidency. This president has gotten all that done in less than 2 years. And there's much more to come, but we need to grow those majorities in the Senate, keep our majority in the House, and we can continue to work to improve the lives of the American people.
When you see Republican governors in Florida and in Texas and in Arizona engage in this sort of theatrical politics, this sick and sickening politics of putting migrants on buses and shipping them to places unknown with false promises of jobs and housing and the like, it is reminiscent, as you well know, of these reverse freedom rides of the 60s where they did the same thing to black folk back in the day. When you see governors doing stuff like that, like this, how important then are these governors' races to you as we move toward November?
Governors' races are really, really important, Tavis. You know, what the Republicans are doing right now, DeSantis and Abbott, is reckless political stunts that are just disgusting. How can you use human beings and using these migrants as props? You know, these are the same people who I'm sure would go to church on Sunday, claim to be good Christians. But the Bible that I read talked about being your brothers and sisters' keeper, not fooling people to get on buses and planes and sending them God knows where without in line to them about it. I mean, these people have been through a whole lot just to get here. And it's sad to see the Republican Party stoop this low. But, you know, given the fact that they nominated and voted for Donald Trump twice, it's not surprising.
Yeah. And what do you make of the numbers? You see the same data that I see in this regard. Latinos have been swinging more and more toward the right for years now. They have voted significantly in a number of key races for Republicans. Do you think that these stunts by these Republican governors will finally slow the exodus of Latinos, Latino voters from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party?
Well, I think DeSantis already is experiencing some extreme backlash from Florida's Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks don't want their people, you know, their kinfolk to be treated as political pawns, just not even caring about what happens to them. And that's what we see right now in today's Republican Party. And these guys are a bunch of bullies, and we know how we have to treat bullies. We got to push back. We got to fight back. And I think, you know, across the country, you're seeing people stand up and say, saying enough is enough.
Yep. Finally here, and I admit I'm ambivalent about this. I believe in winning by any means necessary, so long as it's moral and ethical and legal. And yet, I don't know how I feel about some of these races where Democrats, as you well know, are spending Democratic money in open Republican primaries to push particular candidates to the front because they then believe they can take those candidates out in the general. Again, I see the strategy. I'm not sure that I like the smell of that, though.
Well, Tavis, in terms of the DNC, we don't get involved in primaries, so that type of strategy isn't happening at the DNC. But I leave it up to the other committees to kind of decide what's best in order to get to the end result. But again, we don't get involved in primaries.
But that strategy doesn't bother you, though.
Well, listen, I have a hard enough time controlling my own stuff, Tavis.
Yeah.
To have to worry about what's going on with other folks. So I'm going to let folks do what they have to do, because I got to do what I got to do in order to make sure we keep Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House.
I'm going to let you do that Dick Van Dyke step around. I ain't going to say much more about that. Let me close on this note. So, back to where we began, as I listen to you now, we'll see where you are in a few weeks when you come back on one more time, perhaps before the midterms. But as we sit here now, you think the chances are pretty good for Democrats to hold on to the House, the Senate, and pick up governor's mansion?
Yes. I mean, we got some great governor's races around the country, even races that people never even thought about would pop up. I mean, in Oklahoma right now, I just sent out a tweet today about a very tight race there. So the House races, I see the energy and momentum on our side. President's polling numbers are going up. I feel good about where we are right now, Tavis. And with that momentum, we know that the people there, we just got to turn them out.
He's a busy man, but always takes our phone calls when invited on this program. And perhaps between now and the midterm election day, November the 8th, we may get him back one more time for a brief conversation on the eve of these elections. And if not then, certainly after, because if he's right, he'll be ready to take a bow. And we will let him do that here on Unapologetically Progressive, KBLA Talk 1580. Mr. Chairman, good to have you back on, sir. All the best to you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Stay strong. Appreciate you as well. After news, traffic, and sports, Congressman Steve Cohen, Democrat of Memphis, who has been appointed to a major position regarding political prisoners. We'll talk with him about that and a great deal more when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.